Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Okay, it's season 2, episode 8. What do you say, Abby? You want to warm up the tires?
Yeah, baby, let's warm up those tires. Let's talk about, we've got a wonderful interview with Sabre Cook today that I'm super excited about. I know you are as well.
100%.
And to any of our listeners, you're going to love her.
Yes.
If you don't know who she is, you're about to meet her. She's in the ladder series, the Mazda Road to Indy, that leads up to the IndyCar series. Mm-hmm. And she's just awesome. She's a strong driver. She's got lots of great potential.
Yep.
And she just seems like somebody I want to be friends with.
Exactly. And she's got a great head on her shoulders.
She really does. I mean, especially for as young as she is, she's really got a great head on her shoulders, a great understanding of the commitment and what it takes to do well in this sport. And she just seems cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I enjoy her as a driver, and now I want to be like, so you want to like hang out?
You want to go chill?
Right. So while you're in town, like you want to hang out? Like, can we have a friend date?
I feel like that should be okay. Let's do this.
Yeah. Definitely. So Sabre Cook, that'll be great.
Yeah.
And then we are going to review the Grand Prix of Alabama, a.k.a. Barber.
A.k.a. Rain.
A.k.a. Rain. It was not the weekend that everybody was expecting.
No. This does make back-to-back weekends that Rain actually won the race.
It does. Rain won the race for NASCAR last week.
Yep.
And, it almost won the race. I would say it podiumed.
It did podium. Yeah, I think it would podium for Indy. Yeah.
Yeah, it podiumed, but it did not win this week for Indy.
Watch out, F1, you're next.
Yeah, coming for you. The rain is coming for you.
All right. So first up, we'll let you guys listen to this great interview with Sabre Cook. As Abby said, she's in Mazda Road to Indy. She's currently with Team Bennick. So we think that you will enjoy it because we enjoyed it. So enjoy. We are so excited to have with us Sabre Cook, who is a driver in the USF 2000 on the Mazda Road to Indy. We're real appreciative that she was able to take some time to speak to us. So thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Well, thank you guys for having me as well.
We, obviously one of the big things that we do in our podcast is highlight female racers. So having a young up and coming talent, on our podcast is great. Kind of doing some looking on your very nice website, I noticed you've been racing since you were about 10 years old competitively. Is that right?
Yeah. The whole, usually you get asked, like, well, how did you get started?
Yeah.
My dad, he used to race motocross and supercross professionally. So, obviously, like, didn't really want us doing that. You know, it's a bit more dangerous, risky. So, got us our own karts and just kind of, I was actually called, they called me Driving Miss Daisy for, like, a good first few years. Because I was, you know, I thought it was so cool. But then I kind of spun out and scared myself. And so then I just drove really slow. And then, I don't know, one day at 10, like, around 10 was when I kind of got my first, like, real race kart. Because I remember I was being teased by one of the boys, and they're like, oh, I'm beating you, and, you know, for going slow or something. And I just told my dad, I was like, I could win if I had a faster kart and just had like a full, like, kind of breakthrough moment. And ever since then, it kind of just took off from there. And I won my first race like shortly after. And the rest is the story that leads up to where I am now. So
that's kind of an amazing story, actually. I love that you're like, look, I could beat them if I had the right equipment.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, like, that's kind of how it goes sometimes.
Sure.
But I wasn't taking it as seriously, so, you know, I just had kind of a hand-me-down car that wasn't, you know, I guess fully, like, it would have been very difficult to win for sure on that.
Sure. You indicated your dad kind of gave us, did you race with your siblings to start off with?
A little bit. So I have a younger brother, and he's about almost 3 years younger than me, and he raced as well. And, you know, right off the bat, he was kind of, you know, the fearless kind of thing where, you know, the boys go right for it. But we were old enough to where, like, our age gap, usually we were in different classes. So, you know, and then until like later on when we both ended up racing kind of in junior or mini max together. But I did race with him a little bit growing up and my cousins as well. But not like super competitive, like head to head kind of thing as, you know, like other siblings kind of get, I suppose.
Cool. That's really awesome.
Is there still some sibling rivalry?
My brother actually quit a while ago, unfortunately. He has a ton of talent. Like, he's one of those kids that's just kind of, like, good at a lot of things, and he could do anything he wants. He's just got to get that kind of, he needs to kind of stick to one thing, and so he's just trying to figure out what that one thing is still right now, so.
You know, it must be something about younger siblings, because you could literally be talking about mine or Molly's younger siblings.
Yeah,
right,
like, oh, that's my little brother, yeah.
Like, that's my little sister, she's good at so many things.
I mean, we're still young, and he's, you know, he's just figuring it out, and I have total confidence that when he does decide to do whatever he wants to do, he'll be great at it, but yeah. Right now, he's just being a little brother.
And that was spoken just like a big sister right there. Now, you kind of alluded to it, but would you say your earliest memory then as a driver was when you were talking with your dad about wanting that better cart to beat the boys? Do you think that's your earliest memory?
My earliest memory for sure was actually the very first time. Well, one of the earliest, I guess, would be my dad had a shifter car, and they were racing around in a parking lot, actually, in front of a high school. They had, like, a course set up, and I remember he sat me on his lap in the shifter car and would take us around for a few laps. But then, other than that, me personally first driving was when I got my 50 Comer, and I was so excited, and they obviously didn't really, like, kind of teach us what to do at first, and so they just kind of put us in it, and we're like, all right, go. So I took off and kind of didn't realize at the time that you had to slow down to turn, so I was just like flat out tried to turn the wheel, and then I spun out and scared myself. So that was like kind of like the earliest memory was the very first time I ended up driving the car was when I was probably 8 years old.
Oh wow. So how long have you been racing since about you were eight? Or
yeah, I mean, I started just really, like, low-key club stuff, just kind of driving when I first got my card. But I didn't really take it, you know, more seriously and start racing more competitively until I was about 10.
Okay.
Excellent.
Wow.
So what has been your favorite memory over your entire career? What's been, you know, your best day as a driver?
There's probably like three that kind of stand out, but one that comes to mind is I was 17 and I was the first female to win the Supercarts USA National Championship in 2012.
Awesome.
And I remember, you know, at the end of the day we have kind of like a trophy giving presentation banquet, and I actually got a chance to, you know, like shower properly and like, you know, kind of like not look like a total track rat at the moment, and got to get up there in my, you know, on the podium, and they presented us with the championship plates, and the moment when my name was called and I stood up at the top, and I remember the entire building stood up and gave me a standing ovation, and that was just like one of the greatest memories I will remember, like, till I'm 90 years old.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sure that just all the emotions in that moment.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
We're amazing, yeah.
Well, and then I guess on the flip side of that, since you've been racing for a while, what would you say is kind of the hardest thing you've had to overcome?
Honestly, I think I guess it's kind of been, you know, you can have both the mental and physical side of it. So I guess if we just take, you know, the physical side, when I was about 15, you know, 16, and you start moving up and you're allowed to race with like full grown, like a man or adults. And that kind of, at that point, you know, the boys and girl hormones start changing quite a bit. So at that point, you know, I noticed that there was kind of a disparity in strength kind of. And so once I actually like committed to a full time, like fitness schedule and really worked on strengthening myself in that way, I instantly picked up a lot of speed and a lot of time and confidence and everything. So, I mean, that wasn't totally difficult, but definitely, like, I still have to kind of just make sure I keep up on it. So that way I can handle, you know, anything that I get in, or eventually maybe like the, you know, IndyCar, no power steering. It's a super heavy car and tons downforce. So just being, making sure that I'm ready to do it. And that, for sure, as long as you just put the work in, it's not an issue. And I mean, we've seen that time and time again with Pippa Mann and Catherine Legg and Di Silvestro. Like they had no problem like handling the cars, but mentally, I think that is the biggest struggle for any driver, to be honest, is, you know, making sure that you can manage the environment around you, I guess, it just kind of always make sure you put your best foot forward. So that, I've done a lot of like research over the past few years and reached out to a lot of, sports psychologists. And, one of the best books that I read and people that I talked to was, Dr. Jacques Dallaire, who wrote, Performance Thinking, and amazing book, amazing man. And, so that kind of really helped me once I got to talk to him last year and when I was doing the Team USA scholarship. So the whole process, we got to go through an evaluation with him, and I had kind of been going through a mental block. And once I spoke with him, I something just clicked and I was able to give a really good performance that weekend. So I think that would be kind of the thing for me, is just still managing and, you know, kind of making sure that you realize that you are like your own worst enemy, or you're, you know, you are anything that you think you become, and you're the programmer of your own mind. And so just like making sure that you take care of yourself and take care of your mental health and putting yourself in the best situations possible, I think is what a lot of people actually struggle to, that they go through in any, you know, any sporting career.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I think that's something that, you know, you always think about, the physical strength and how that comes into play, but it's definitely not talked about as much. But you absolutely have to have, you know, the ability to focus and calm your mind at the times it needs to be calm and be alert when it needs to be alert. And yeah, there's a lot that goes into that mental side that has huge implications for how your performance goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think people don't, you know, I had a friend of mine talk to me about, you know, horse jumping. You know, there's no men and women's in horse jumping either. And so it's like, but right now the best horse jumpers are females. And so it's just kind of shows, you know, that it's all kind of mentality wise. And yeah, there's a lot more girls that jump horses right now than men. So usually typically the women come out on top, just like racing, you know, there's like 5,000 guys and 25 girls. So it's like, you know, the ratios are a bit skewed, but I think that people don't realize as much like how much power you have, you know, just when you decide to do something. And that's what most successful people in any area will tell you, is just, you know, it's all about making sure you're in the right mindset, and then you can achieve whatever you need to.
Absolutely.
Well, wow. That was a really great answer. That was fantastic. So you are currently right now in the USF 2000 on the Mazda Road to Indy.
Yes.
And this is, I looked and I'm going to double check myself. This is your first year, correct?
Very first year, first race at St. Pete.
So that's
new thing. And kind of a rookie team as well with Bennick. And yeah. I mean, they have amazing people that they've hired and are, you know, in charge of maintaining the team. So those people are seasoned, obviously, but the Bennick name, this is the first full season the team will run as well.
Oh, that's amazing. That's right. We listened to you on the radio at St. Pete.
We did.
Yeah. So it's a good situation. They're really great guys. And my teammate's great. It kind of like, I got a second younger brother, Michael.
That's good.
So I think it's a really good situation we got going, and we'll see how it ends up the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So just a fun question. if you could choose any race, and we'll go ahead and say any discipline, because I know you also do a bit on the sports car side as well, what is the one race you would want to win?
Oh, like, if I wasn't, if money or anything wasn't a factor, like, yeah. In a perfect world. In a perfect world, I would have to say the Grand Prix of Monaco or the 24 Hours of Le Mans. So it's like, you know, I don't know. And then, but I've also heard lately that like the 12 hour, like of Sebring is like one of the hardest races that you'll ever do, even though it's not a 24. So I guess those two or three are kind of like the iconic ones in my mind. And I've been obsessed with the Grand Prix of Monaco ever since I was a little kid. I don't know why, but
it is a very special race.
Yeah. The whole, just like the presentation and the ambiance and everything that just goes into it, it's a lot different than any of the other races. And obviously Monaco is beautiful anyways, but it's just, it's different, you know, and a street course is very difficult in itself. So I think to win that is something really special.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, that absolutely would be. All right. Let's see.
We like to ask some fun questions too, so we're going to mix it up so we're not all so serious.
All right, so let's see. Who was your favorite driver growing up? Or like your idol in racing, somebody that you've always looked up to?
When I was growing up, there was a Carter. He never raced cars professionally, but he's an amazing person, and he was actually like the very first. I haven't had a ton of like driver coaching as like, you know, as I've grown up and noticing now, I'm really starting to value that and try and get more of it. But he was my first kind of coach for a bit, and his name is Alan Rudolph, and he's won a lot of karting championships. He's an American. He currently just opened up a track in Houston. And so he's a really great guy, great family. And I think he just like knows kind of, we connect a lot the same and think a lot the same. So I definitely looked up to him. And but car wise, when I first started to really get to know, you know, research more on the F1, because that's, you know, the ultimate level in most people's mind. And so I guess Senna, I started, especially after I read The Art of Racing in the Rain, I don't know what it is about, but that's like my favorite book. And then just kind of getting to more know about whole thing and like researching it and how much they talked about Schumacher. And so Senna, like I was kind of, I mean, is a lot of people's just iconic level, top level, like, you know, like if that's like the perfect person you could be. But the reason why I think I like him is, I mean, he died the same year I was born, actually the same month. So it's not like I got to see him, you know, live race or anything like that with him in it. But just hearing how passionate he was, was, I think, is why I'm drawn to him more than some of the other drivers, because I think, I don't know if it's being a girl, but, you know, being a little bit more emotional. And I think that pushes you to a next level too, is, you know, just having that passion and the why and the drive to do it. So I think that's why I really like him as well. But, and then Mark Webber was a more like recent F1 driver that I actually really, really liked. And he's really good in sports cars as well. So I like him. And Juan Pablo Montoya obviously doesn't take shit off anybody. And he's a great, great dude to look up to. And he drives the wheels off anything he gets into. So
he really does.
It's hard to pick one, you know.
Who doesn't love Juan?
I mean, we have a lot. We like to create funny memes with drivers. We've got quite a few with Juan. Just because, I mean, it's funny to, you know, to poke fun at him, because at the end of the day, he's just a hell of a driver.
Yeah.
I mean, he can drive anything and do very well at it.
Yeah. And he just speaks his mind, and he's just, you know, he's got such a strong mentality to where he just, you know, he's confident in his abilities, and he doesn't worry about any of the stupid frivolous things that, you know, a lot of us get caught up in today's like overstimulating environments and social environments. So it's he's a really cool person for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've got a degree in mechanical engineering. Is that, did you achieve that degree? I know at one point you were working towards it. You recently got that degree?
Yeah, I did. I just graduated in December.
Gosh. Well, first of all, congratulations. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's amazing. That's a pretty hard degree, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely lost lots of sleep over the last few years.
Yeah, sure.
Had my share of mental breakdowns, yeah. But, you know, I survived and made it through eventually.
Do you think the information you got from that degree, is that helpful to you now in your racing career?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, one, it just, like, it makes me understand the way, you know, a very, you know, typical engineers operate and how they think. And it can be, you know, you hear a lot about, like, how the drivers can kind of get frustrated sometimes when they're working with their engineers because it's they just think differently. And it's hard for the two worlds to kind of come together. So I think it's, like, really vital for me, like, to be able to tell an engineer kind of what I'm thinking as a driver, but translate it to where they kind of understand it more.
Absolutely,
and then we, you know, optimize the car better.
Yeah. Well, I'm engineer, so Molly's an attorney, I'm a nurse. And engineers are definitely included in another profession that you kind of speak a different language than normal people. And so, yeah, I'm sure that makes a big difference where you're able to explain it to your engineers in, you know, in engineer lingo.
Yeah. And if, you know, as I have my degree now, so if, you know, if the racing, hopefully, you know, I'm not going to knock on wood, but if, you know, if I need to, I can go get an engineering job. And if I become, you know, a design engineer or, you know, a race engineer, it's super helpful to be able to get that input from the drivers. And so I would be able to kind of, I think, relay it and translate it into, you know, a new iteration for the car if I needed to, you know, if I was on the other side of the fence.
Absolutely.
Well, hopefully you don't have to fall back on that degree. We're thinking you're going to go pretty far, but that's just our opinion.
Yeah. Well, I hope so as well. So we'll see. But it's nice to have, you know, as a kind of a backup plan. So.
Absolutely. So tell us some of your interests outside the car. What do you like to do in the rest of your life?
I really like being outdoors, and obviously I'm from Colorado, so growing up, you know, doing a lot of outdoor activities, and college, though, has brought me a new appreciation for naps, because
I'm really
tired.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't need those, definitely not near as much now, but, you know, I just like being, you know, hiking. We have lots of great hiking where I'm from, and skiing when you get a chance to do it, and skiing was terrible this year, unfortunately, but it's just stuff like that. And I love animals, honestly, and I just love dogs. Anybody that knows me, I just love dogs. So I'm actually sitting here right now with my dog talking to you guys.
We're sitting here with Molly's dog, actually.
So it's fine. The dogs are on the podcast as well. It's okay.
So what kind of a dog do you have?
I have a chocolate lab. Well, I guess it's technically my dad's, but... He sleeps with me every time I'm home, so.
That means he's yours.
He's yours.
Yeah.
He's mine.
No. Aww.
But yeah, they're great, and, you know, I feel like they just make your day happy, and you can never really be too sad when they're around, so. They're definitely good for your soul.
Definitely. Well, so since you grew up in Colorado, I say, did you enjoy the Winter Olympics this year?
I watched them, but I didn't watch them near as much as I normally would have. I think I was somewhere, I think I was actually racing for most of it, and I wasn't, like, in town, but I did watch some of it, and I watched Sean White's, you know, his comeback run, and then watched Lindsey Vonn's last Olympics, so that was, you know, it was kind of a nostalgic moment to watch her do that, and then I watched a little bit of the figure skating, but I kind of wish I would have seen more of it, because I think it's, like, it's amazing what they can do, so, especially on, like, a little tiny blade, it's just, like, for me, like, I'm terrible at ice skating, and so I just very much appreciate what they're able to do.
Absolutely, yeah, no, it's completely amazing to me. Like, I would 100% break all of the bones in my body if I tried that.
Oh yeah,
just
yeah.
Butt it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's unbelievable what they can do, and just like my ankles always hurt so much when I go, and I feel like their ankle strength has just got to be ridiculous. So
I agree.
Anything in general, they're just like super fit, but it's pretty cool to watch what they can do.
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
especially in tiny little outfits. That's like,
well, and I actually, I read a funny article that talked about how figure skating is the only sport where one of the things you're judged on is how ridiculously hard the program is athletically and how well you appear that you're doing it effortlessly. I'm like, you know what, that's true. In every other sport, it's okay for you to, you know, for your the look on your face to very much show that you are, you know, working your ass off.
Working,
but in figure skating, that's like, they smile and just look effortless.
I guess I didn't really think about that. I didn't realize that they, like, couldn't, you know, make a, I guess, a grunt face. Like, I'm pretty sure I make tons of faces when I'm driving.
Grunt face. Yeah, no, those happen.
Yeah.
Or, like the whole fitness. Stick the tongue out where you, like, I definitely do that.
I think you're allowed to, as a race car driver, make those faces. So, yeah. No, that's okay.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, all right. Do you have any funny stories of practice days, race days, where it seemed like just kind of everything went wrong, or it was just kind of one thing after another?
Oh gosh, lots. I've had plenty of those, unfortunately. I'll rag on my dad a little bit, I guess, like, because he was my mechanic for so long, because, you know, it's expensive to hire, you know, one on your own and a really proper one. But so my dad would always help wrench for me in karting, and there were days where I love my father, but he is like very much like he's pulled a million different directions a lot, and he tries to do way too much. And then, you know, you go out, and like before I could really kind of take care of my cart on my own, you know, go out and, oh, well, the wheel just fell off. Oh, well, the chain fell off. Oh, well, the silencer just fell off. And it's like, Dad. And I guess one of the most funny points that people like on our karting team recall with me, I guess at one point I was probably maybe like 15, 16 or something. And it was a big race, and finally something else had fallen off my cart, and I guess I came in and I was like, Dad, shit has got to quit falling off my go-kart, and like in front of everybody, and they just laughed. And just, I don't know why, but that was just like they remind me of it constantly, because they said it was a really funny moment, entertaining for them. So yeah, I guess just, that's one of the funnier moments.
That is really funny. Dad, shit has got to stop falling off my cart.
Yeah, it happens. So he did it. No, I've had been really, really blessed to have a dad that is super supportive and, you know, not like super overbearing. I mean, he does, obviously any dad gets overbearing at one point, but, you know, he's never been like the, you know, the crazy, super like intense T-ball dads, but he's always, you know, supported me and believed in me. So I definitely, and it, you know, his support, like, is, I think it's like, we kind of have a special thing going, because he also was kind of in a similar sport and situation. So he can really relate to me, whereas some, you know, some other parents maybe can't as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to be able to have a dad that I can talk to about that stuff.
Absolutely.
That's pretty amazing. That's,
yeah, that is.
That's a good dad right there.
He's a good dad.
So do you have like a hype song that you have to listen to before you get ready for a big race?
I actually have like a Spotify playlist that I made that it honestly depends on, you know, it goes back to the mentality thing, to where I need to make myself get into the, you know, the right kind of mental state. And so sometimes maybe I'm, you know, not as like hyped up as I need to be. So then I'll listen to a specific kind of song, or I actually try to, you know, how a lot of the motocross guys or skiers or, you know, just any other athletes, they usually, you know, warm up and get their heart rate up before they actually go out and perform. So I actually think that a lot of times in cars, like, we don't really, you know, you don't see that as much. And I think it's actually really something really important that more of us should start doing, because, you know, it's just better for your muscles. It's better for your performance. And so I'll do that, you know, and sometimes just getting your heart rate up, it will alert your senses, and it's good to be a little nervous, makes you more alert and more, you know, better reactions. And so I'll do that. And then, but sometimes I'll be too like jazzed up, and I'll be like kind of overdriving, or, you know, and I need to kind of refocus and calm down and just kind of focus on having fun. So then I could listen to another playlist to kind of get my mindset back towards that. So it's all about, you know, balancing it and making sure I'm in the right place. And maybe sometimes if I'm like super tired, if you take like a quick power nap and make sure you don't sleep more than like 20 minutes. And so, 'cause then you go into like a REM sleep or something like that, but you know, it can kind of refresh you and hydrate and make sure you're hydrated and all that stuff. And I actually take, there's a, what's it called? It's a, like a supplement line and it's called Advocare. Mm-hmm. And they have a supplement that's called Spark, and it's literally just amino acids and, you know, electrolytes, and has a little bit of caffeine in it. So I will take that even sometimes when I was studying. It kind of just like gives you a little more mental clarity and just kind of gives your body the nutrition it needs to kind of get going. So it's not nothing like super like, you know, crazy pre-workout, like jittery kind of thing.
Sure.
No, it just kind of depends on where I assess that my mental state is at or where my body is at. And then I'll kind of just go from there and make sure I prepare myself in the right way before I go out.
Very smart.
Yeah.
I never thought about having kind of like a warm-up period before you get in the car to drive. That actually makes a lot of sense, though.
It does.
Yeah.
I do this thing where, like, in karting, I would, like, kind of where you, like, you know where you go to hug someone and you kind of cross your arms, but if you swing them fast enough and you alternate which arm goes on top, like, that's actually, like, a really good one to get your, you know, it activates your upper body and your abs and your core and your back muscles and your shoulder muscles, and so that's, like, one of the really good exercises I'll do just kind of quickly before I get in the car. And I think it would be super cool if I had like a trainer and like a bike trainer where you can set your bike up on it and do like a light spin before you go out.
Then yeah.
I think that would be awesome, but it's a little difficult to travel with a bike. So I haven't figured that one out yet.
Yeah, that would be a little hard, I would think.
Yeah, but they definitely, like, motocross guys and supercross guys, they'll do, like, that's something that they do before they go out for their events and sessions. So it's definitely, like, something that other athletes use, and I think it's just important to kind of get yourself warmed up, ready to go.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, here's something we always like to ask. What is a hidden talent or skill that you have that maybe a lot of people don't know that you have?
Oh, okay. I can sing pretty decently. I was in like honor choir all throughout high school, and I used to do like some plays and musicals and stuff. So, sometimes I'll like do national anthems and stuff for like local events. But so that's, I guess, one of them. And I also like to like draw and paint, more of an artistic side. So I guess I have like that as well as like the racing and the engineering. So kind of polar opposites in a way.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, they are. But that's excellent.
That's amazing. That's both sides of the brain.
It is.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. No, I think it's good to exercise all of it, 'cause it's, it kind of relaxes, gives the other side a break. And sometimes you look at things in a different way if you kind of, you know, like it's like a muscle, you know, you have to kind of allow it to relax and maybe do an exercise a different way to confuse the muscle in order to, you know, gain strength, and your brain is the same way. So just doing just kind of out of the box things to try and always, you know, make improvements.
That's pretty awesome. It's a very nice talent to have actually. So yeah. I mean, maybe if the anthem singer accidentally calls in sick at the 500, we might have a backup here, is what I'm thinking.
Oh my god, yeah. I am so bad at, like, I get a little bit of stage fright when I sing. Like, that's why, like, choir was nice, because you were like up there with a bunch of people. But I would have to definitely, like, maybe stare at a wall and like not look at all the people. But you know, I could do it, but it definitely, I would get probably like way like a million times more nervous for that than I would if I was actually driving.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh no, but that, yeah, I get that.
Singing the national anthem at 8500, yeah, that would be terrifying.
Yeah,
that would be like, that's a really big order for sure. That's, yeah, like, superstar level, like, people that need to be singing that.
Right? Well, and Molly and I are both musical as well, and I went to a high school, and our band marches around the track the morning of the Indy 500.
That's awesome!
Yeah, it's super cool. But yeah, that is very similar to a choir. You know, you are performing as part of an ensemble.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, that didn't feel nerve-wracking, but yeah, to be a soloist... No, I don't think so.
Maybe with enough practice, like, you know, you do enough things that scare you and it gets easier, right? But yeah, it's definitely something different for sure.
Yeah.
But what instruments do you guys play?
Well, we both play piano.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Thank you.
And then Molly plays the oboe as well, and I play the French horn.
So we're not...
Look at you guys. You just have a little bit of everything.
Yeah, it's real fun at parties because we just know classical music.
Yeah.
Hey, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's all fine.
We can't really
I know, up. Like, I can read music enough to where, like, I can be dangerous on the piano and just, like, kind of pick something out. But definitely need to learn to play it fluently. But I definitely admire people that can play like that. It's really, really beautiful to listen to.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. It doesn't, like, the bike, it doesn't travel well, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can totally understand.
Yeah, there's so many
times
that I'm like, I should have learned how to play the guitar. That's so much easier to take places.
I mean, you could get, like, a keyboard, I guess.
But it's still pretty big.
Well, the horn probably is easier to transport, right?
Yeah. But nobody's sitting around a campfire with a French horn, I'll tell you that.
That's true. Might be a little loud.
Yeah. I say it's really great in an ensemble for, like, Christmas music. It's always French horn and oboe solos, but...
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, we're not going to sit around and, yeah.
Buzz down.
Yeah. Play Tom Petty on the French horn.
Now I'm going to be tickled with that for a couple of days.
Yeah. I bet I could play Mary Jane's Last Dance on my French horn.
Though. There you go.
New goal for this year.
So outside of the carts and everything that you've driven, what's your favorite street car to drive?
Oh, I mean, I haven't had a privilege of, like, driving that many, like, street cars, obviously. Like, I have a Toyota RAV4 that I ride around because it's safe and, you know, it's very slow. And somehow I managed to still get a speeding ticket in it several times, which I'm not proud of, but it's amazing in snow, though. I do have to say that, and that was, like, the big thing for me, just, like, being able to, especially with how much snow we get around Golden, where I was going to school. So it's I definitely always felt safe making sure I had that. And but I'm trying to get, I really, really wish I had a manual daily driver, to be honest, but it's very hard to find all-wheel drive manual cars. So I'm currently looking actually to try and see if I can get a trade-in or anything, but there's a few BMWs, but most of it is, you know, it's a Subaru kind of thing. So but also, you know, I tend to have I have an expensive hobby right now, so that's kind of on the back burner, obviously. But now the RAV4 is Still, it does me. It does good, and it transports my bike. So
yeah, there you go.
So it all works out. And my dog. It's a good transport for the dog too.
Yeah, that's always an important thing. Does the dog like the car?
Yeah.
Definitely, I need to get a cover for it though, because he is definitely going through that spring shedding right now. It is ridiculous.
Oh yeah.
I'm lucky enough, mine doesn't shed, but my parents have a long-haired German Shepherd who,
I think
loses 4 pounds of hair every other week, so I understand the shedding of the car.
Yeah, you could probably make another dog out of the hair, right?
I can. Absolutely. Yeah, I can. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun on clothes.
Yes, people very much appreciate it, you know, when you like, sorry about all that hair. Brush it off.
It's my car. You're just going to have to deal with it. It's what I tell them. Sorry, it's my car. What do you want? So,
yeah. Always keep the sticky lint roller in the car when you have pets. Yeah.
They manage to, like, get stuck in the seat though. They, like, the little hairs, they, like, get stuck under the fabric, and there's literally nowhere way else to get it out other than pulling it out one by one with your hands.
Yep. I've been there. So what is the next race for you coming up?
Uh, them. I'm actually going to VRI for the first time next week.
Okay.
My one of my main sponsors, Apple Motorsports and Aspen Equity Group, they're kind of one and the same. My sponsor's racing his own. He has a GT Porsche Cup car, 2007, I believe it is.
Okay.
And so he is, it's amazing. He wheels that thing around, and he's about 71 years old now. And I'm very impressed with, like, with his car control, and, like, that thing is wicked fast in a straight line. So it's really cool to watch him drive that.
Oh,
and,
wow.
So I'm excited to see the track too, because, you know, it's obviously a well-known track here in the U.S. And, I haven't seen it in person yet. So I'm excited to go do that.
Awesome. And now on the Monster Road to Indy, what's your next stop?
Monster Road to Indy is the Indy GP. The USF 2000, unfortunately, doesn't go do, you know, like they didn't do Phoenix or yeah. Barber or anything like that. So we've got like a whole another month before yeah. we're back in the cars and everything. So, but it'll be nice because I've actually ran the Indy GP course before, or at least a very close version of it mm-hmm. for the runoffs that were there last year. So I'm excited to go back and really like the track and the area. So it's always good to go to Indy. So okay. I'm excited for that.
It is a lovely area, if we can say that out loud.
Yeah, and Bell is also opening up their like brand yeah. new store like downtown, and so I'm really like stoked to go see that as a Bell athlete, and they've been working super hard on it. So definitely excited to go do that and have some friends there. So it'll be a good week or good month, I suppose, because the Indy, the 500, you know, and the one oval race we do is shortly after. So yeah. It'll be good.
Awesome. Well, before I forget, I want to have you tell everybody what your social media is, where they can find you.
Okay. Facebook, it's just Sabre Cook Racing, Sabre Cook, and then Racing is a fan page. And then on Instagram, it's just Sabre Cook. Twitter, it's Sabra _ Cook. Kind of, if you just search my name, basically you'll kind of find what you need. And then my current website is sabrecookracing.com.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Awesome.
And then so I know you said you know it is an expensive hobby, so do you have any sponsors you want to recognize right now, and is there any way that, you know, what are some ways that fans can help you out, you know, maybe some sponsors they can support? Or I know you're probably always open to some new sponsorship.
Always. Yeah. You know, just trying to make the right connections with the right people. That I have really great people around me right now, like Apple Motorsports and Aspen Equity Group and Bell Helmets and Coda Karting actually just joined on recently. So really excited for them. They're putting me to do the Indy GP race. So super appreciative for their new involvement. And then also Mesa Fitness and Grand Junction Motor Speedway, just local companies here that, you know, help me just make sure I get track time and get my, you know, have somewhere where I can train and work out and the right kind of trainers and nutritionists around me that I can consult and just make sure my performance physically and mentally are where they need to be. So those are the great people I have around me right now. Always, of course, looking for other partners and, you know, trying to always have meetings and calls I'm making sure. to make it happen. And, you know, if you guys know anybody or anybody listening knows somebody that would love to help me, you know, it's unfortunately a very expensive sport. And as much as we wish it was like a traditional sport, it's not. So, yeah, that's just kind of all that matters to keep going in the USF 2000 series right now. I'm actually not confirmed for the whole season because I haven't gathered enough funding or support to do the full one. So right now, just, you know, taking it a couple races at a time and just pushing to get that ultimate budget to do the full year all the way through August.
Sure. And if they go to your website, is there a way, if somebody knows somebody, they can direct it to your website and there's somewhere to contact like you and your team through that website?
Yeah, there's a contact form. Awesome. You just go to my website and it'll send me and my media team an email. So RTD Media also does a great job with all my marketing and social media stuff. So if you guys need anything for that, they are the people to go to for sure. They're a super great team and just great people to work with.
Really, really cool. Well, before we end, what else? Anything else you want to let the people listening at home to know about you? I'll let you have the last word. It's a good thing.
Okay. I guess I don't know. Maybe I feel like I've talked about myself a lot. So
that's what you're supposed to do.
I guess just thanks for watching and or listening, and thank you guys for having me on. And
thank you so very much. This has been a great interview. I'm so excited to see what you do, and this has been a great interview. And I'm so thankful that you took the time to come on.
No, thank you guys. I always love doing interviews, and especially like with women, it's super, super nice to actually like have women, you know, commentators that are asking the questions and out there spreading the word and talking about race cars. So I think it's really awesome that you guys have this program going.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, next opportunity to see Sabre race is going to be in the support race to the Indy GP, which kicks off in about 2 weeks. Oh, my God.
It sure does. It's going to be May.
It's going to be May. Sorry.
Hashtag this is May. So, yeah, we'll just go ahead and throw out our plug for the IndyCar GP right now.
Yep.
Get your tickets.
Please.
Get your tickets and go. It's fun. It's not as expensive as the Indy 500. It's a good day. It's a great day to bring kids.
It is.
Get the general admission, and you can sit on the mounds, you can walk around, you can check stuff out. Because if you're worried about your kids getting bored and you're on the mounds, well, there's lots of grass. So
they can roll down.
They can run around and get some energy out, and you can watch a race and keep an eye on them. And everybody wins. Everybody gets a good day at the track. So
everybody
it's a great
wins.
Family day at the track. And lots of good racing, because we've got the
support series.
The support series races, and then an IndyCar race. So make sure you come out to the track May 11th and May 12th.
Definitely. And we'll be there.
We will be there. So if you're there, make sure you hit us up on social media. And we will probably arrange some sort of tweet up, maybe let you guys know where we're at and what time if anybody wants to come by and say hi.
Yeah.
So watch our social media. You can find everything you need on fastcarsfastgirls.com. We are also on Facebook. We are on Twitter at fastcarsand317, on Instagram at fastcarsfastgirls. We also have a YouTube. Mm-hmm. Make sure you check that out. We had an amazing video drop this week, courtesy of my co-host. Because before May, the last event before May is the Mutt Strut.
Yep.
And so Molly put together an awesome video about the training for her dogs.
Team Fast Cars, Fast Girls. Excuse you.
Yes. Team Fast Cars, Fast Girls. And they're both female dogs. Yep. So yes, she put an amazing video. I liken it to the montage in a Rocky movie.
Thank you. That's kind of what I was going for.
I figured as much. And yes, you succeeded. That video is awesome.
Oh, it makes me laugh every time I see it. Only because I know the dogs.
Well, knowing both dogs, and they both can be such spazzes.
So it's going to be real fun this Saturday at the Mutt Strut.
Oh, hilarious. Hilarious. So, yeah. So make sure you check that out. Yeah, we're on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you can find us at any podcast hosting site, which if you're listening, you probably already have. But you also can listen to us on our website. Make sure that you subscribe, like, rate, review, all that good stuff. Share us with your friends and family.
Definitely.
All right. I think that about sums it up for business. I did want to, again, promote another business.
Okay.
White Rabbit Copy.
Yep.
WhiteRabbitCopy.com for all your printing, copy, and graphic design needs. Make sure you hit them up. They've been a wonderful partner with us.
Yes.
Their prices are great. The owner's awesome. All their staff are wonderful to deal with. You will not find better customer service for print, copy, or graphic design needs. I guarantee you that.
Yeah.
You will not find a better person to work with. So make sure you check out White Rabbit Copy. We really appreciate them supporting the show.
Yeah. Definitely, we do. We do. It's great. Before we flip over, we talked about the Mutt Strut this weekend, and I think people also should know that Monday, Tuesday, and actually Wednesday, cars are going to be on the track, and it is not tire testing for once.
It is not tire testing. Monday, April 30th, is the reschedule
all driver test at IMS that was moved from March for inclement weather.
And
there's a list of all the drivers, and it's everybody that's not a rookie. And everybody that does not need a refresher. Tuesday, May 1st is ROP and refresher. So all of our rookies, which would we say there were like nine this year, some shit like that.
Maybe not a
it's close to being like half of the field attempting to qualify for the Indy 500 is going to be a rookie. Or not half, a third. Close to a third of the field. It's pretty, pretty wild. And then the refresher courses. So for anybody who hasn't raced in an Indy car recently, has to do a refresher course. So that'll be Danica Patrick has to do a refresher course. Just like when Michael Andretti came back and raced, when it was Marco's first year, Marco had to do rookie orientation, ROP. Michael had to do the refresher because it had been so many years, which that one made me laugh because an Andretti sitting in a refresher course.
You know,
every other driver in that refresher course was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Or they were just giving him the business.
Either give him the business, or I would say maybe even like super intimidated because he's probably sitting in the back. It's probably like when I go to an EKG class. That I could easily teach. I just sit in the back and I just judge everything the teacher says. And I'm like, no, no, wrong. You said that in a confusing way. Michael's probably sitting in the back, right? He probably was like playing on his phone.
Napping.
They were like, Michael, can we help you? He's like, do you need help? Cause I can.
No, you cannot. No, thank you.
I've got a few things to add.
So
Monday and Tuesday, that'll be a great time.
It will be a great time. I can't wait to go.
I'm very excited. And we're meeting up with a few people there. We're actually meeting up with Simon Pagenaud's spotter.
That'll be fun on Monday.
So that'll be fun. Get a little inside scoop on the things they look for at the IMS.
What
else were you going to add?
I was just going to make sure that we plug that we're going to be at testing in ROP. So definitely follow us on social media because we'll have it across all platforms.
We certainly will. And our Snapchat will be alive and well.
It'll be activated.
Yes, we activate any days that we're at the track.
Yes.
So Snapchat is FastCars, FSTGRLS.
Yeah, ran out of vowels.
Sure did. Yeah. In retrospect, I probably should have done FCFG, but
I don't.
Vodka was involved.
Yeah, I don't know if we can even change it. So who knows?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, we'd have to create a new one, and I just don't care. I'm not doing that.
How about a quick roundup of other motorsports? NASCAR. So Bristol raced on last Monday, and I don't think we actually talked about it because we recorded earlier. So Kyle Busch won at Bristol, and then Kyle Busch won on Richmond, and then they're at Talladega this upcoming week.
Well, and the Richmond race, that was his third in a row.
Yes.
Because it was this whole thing. Is he going to get three in a row again? Because he's done it before. He's done a three-peat two times before, I think.
I don't know. How many
So this was
before?
His third three-peat.
So there you go. Kyle Busch.
So, and I only know that because a lot of my patients had NASCAR on in their rooms. And every time I looked up and saw NASCAR, it just made me sad that I wasn't watching IndyCar.
You died a little bit inside.
I did.
You're like, but can we switch over to NBC Sports?
Right. Or can you at least turn the volume down so I don't have to listen to the script?
So there was no F1 this week. This upcoming weekend, they will be at Azerbaijan. So the GP there. And maybe it'll get rained out. We'll see. And then
NHRA. So I did happen to be lucky enough. Brittany Force, it was Spring Nationals.
Yep.
And I was lucky enough to see her winning race.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it was perfect timing. I was in a patient room. They had on whatever network it was on. Wow. And literally we were mid-conversation, and then I heard something, and I looked up, and I see Courtney Force and John Force. You know, they show them, and they're standing and, you know, looking on, and then I look up, and I realize that it's Brittany in the car.
Yeah.
And she was racing against the number two guy, and she was number 16 at the time.
Oh, wow.
And I turned to the patient. I was like, I'm sorry. Can you hold on a second? I was like, I have to watch this.
Sorry.
And, completely professional.
Well, fine.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know, I'm a real person too. So I actually got to see it and it was amazing.
Oh,
she killed it.
Yeah.
And then they showed I mean, immediately went back to John and Courtney Force. And I mean, the two of them just elated, just giddy. It was, aww, you know, it's just, I love their family.
I do too. And
yeah, they're so cute.
I know.
And I just love John Force. Like, he just seems like such a fun dad.
Right? Like, I want to go have a beer. And we've talked about this, a beer. And I'm sure that they'd like maybe a cigar with John Force.
Yeah. Or probably, I think we decided that they probably drink whiskey.
I think they start off with beer, and then for their cigars, it's like a whiskey or a bourbon, yes, or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They 100%. I mean, all the four sisters 100% seem like they would sip on a nice glass of, like, bourbon, whiskey, or scotch, and have, mm-hmm, a cigar.
Definitely.
And, yeah, that seems like, you know, that would not be out of the realm at all.
And if somebody says otherwise, just don't tell us. Don't ruin this for us.
Yeah, don't ruin it.
Don't ruin it.
Now, in other NHRA news, John Force,
yeah,
did not qualify for the first time in, well, prior to this, he had 221 consecutive races.
Yeah.
And he actually did not qualify. And so he put out a statement and apologized to his fans and all that, which, you know, I always think is nice.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's necessary. We've discussed, you know, what I think that people should expect from athletes.
Right.
And I don't think that they owe you anything other than to just do their best. And he did, you know, and he just said, you know, they didn't have it all together. You know, he gave props to his crew and all that, you know, just said he was disappointed and apologized to the fans who had come out to see him,
yeah,
since he didn't end up, you know, making it in, but you know, that they'll improve and do better next time. So, you know, that's unfortunate for John.
It is. Well, he had that kind of horrific, I mean, he walked away from it, but he had that bad crash a while back. And so maybe there's just some lingering, like, PT issues that they're still working on. I don't know. It just seems, who knows?
Yeah, there absolutely could be. Or it could just be, I mean, maybe there were some car issues behind, yeah, the scenes we don't know about. You never know. Something. I mean, there's so many factors.
Oh, yeah. It could just be the weather. I mean, anything could happen. So.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. Well,
let's go down south.
Let's go down south.
Let's go to Alabama. So, all right.
Roll Tide, baby.
Oh, there it is.
Somebody had to say it.
Somebody had to say it. You know, I'm a Big Ten, not SEC, so whatever.
Yeah, we are. Big Ten for life.
Faux life. Anyway.
Faux life. Who?
Who's yours?
Damn, yeah, right.
It was also a Little Five weekend earlier, so.
Oh, it was. Yeah. And I love that you tweeted out something because, yeah, my two oldest nieces were at Little Five.
Aww.
My oldest niece is in college. My second oldest niece is a senior in high school. And Little Five was over prom weekend. And she went to prom last year but didn't really have a great time.
Sure.
And so she decided this year, rather than follow the crowd, and she's my, she and I are kindred spirits. This is my niece that she and I are so much alike, it's unreal.
Yeah.
And so she wasn't going to go with the crowd. She didn't want to conform and go with the crowd. She thought, I didn't have a great time last year. I'm going to do what I want to do. And so she went down and spent the weekend with her sister and had a great time at Little Five.
Because that's what you do.
That's what you do. And honestly, I went to prom all 4 years of high school. And if I had the choice between prom and Little Five, I'd choose Little Five every damn time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great time. And Cutter's won, so I'm very, very proud of that.
Very exciting.
All right. So anyway, back to Alabama.
Back to Alabama.
All right, practice sessions. I think only one thing needs to be discussed in practice session. Turn five.
Turn fucking five. Oh, my gosh.
At least eight people bit it in turn five. And I might have missed people.
I mean, honestly, everybody was losing their shit in turn five.
Everybody was.
And, you know, an interesting fact that the announcer said is that course, and I'm sure this has to do with the design, the layout of it, and, you know, both in a 2D model and then also with the elevation changes,
mm-hmm,
this course actually has the highest G-forces of any road course.
That doesn't surprise me with the elevation changes. And so, like,
yeah,
the turn five is a hairpin downhill turn.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a recipe. And I think, not the first session, but maybe second session where you had gotten everybody, the wind had shifted. And so it was kind of pushing them through the turn or down the turn and not across the turn.
Yes.
So that might have been why 2/3 of the people who bit it more in practice session 2 than 1 or 3.
Yeah, I think you're correct. Although Newgarden bit it.
He bit it in one.
Practice one. Yeah, he bit it in one. And I will say, with the G-forces, poor Zach Beach.
Oh, my gosh. And he was sick, too.
That's what I'm saying. Poor Zach Beach, because he had food poisoning. Ugh. And I can tell you, I've had food poisoning before, and it's awful.
It's not fun.
And so to add G-forces, I mean, somebody likened it to, you know, getting on a roller coaster over and over and over again after you've been sick. And I was like, that sounds like the worst thing ever. And I'm sure that's exactly what it feels like. Yeah. I don't know how that kid did it. I know they had medical staff on hand. He got like 4 liters of fluids. Yeah. He got IV anti-nausea meds. I'm sure it was Zofran because the rest probably. Of them sedate you.
Yeah.
and then I thought, Andretti, hey, Andretti Autosport. I am happy to be the team's personal nurse. I am awesome at starting IVs. I can do it with my eyes closed. I know exactly how to help situations like that. I'm just putting it out there.
I'd be happy
to be the concierge nurse for any racing team.
I would agree to this. I wholeheartedly endorse.
Yeah,
I give my endorsement.
So practice one. And Rossi, he actually went off and turned 16 on practice one.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that ended up being a red flag because he had to get towed.
Yeah, he had to get, though he did plow through an ATM sign or something like that, and so I had a laugh.
Yeah, that made me chuckle. Going back to Veach, one of the things they talked about, just, you know, with the decisions, you know, because last year when they picked Veach, we all thought, you know, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah.
But Andretti's one of those teams, you know, they have four cars, and they like to have, you know, more seasoned drivers and then bring in a new guy every now and then so that they can grow them and coach them and get them, you know, to hopefully championship status. And so they actually signed a 3-year deal with Veach,
yes,
so that he can, quote, learn and grow.
Which I think is fantastic.
I think it is fantastic. And all I wrote down on my notes for that was, take note, Larry Foyt.
Yeah. Thanks, Larry. Yeah. By the way, how did your cars do this time, Larry? Not that great.
Yeah. Yeah, why doesn't somebody tell us how AJ Foyt Racing is better this year than last year?
You know,
I'll tell you what.
They've stopped saying that.
Good. It was dumb the first time they said it. It's only getting more ridiculous.
Right. Like, no, sorry. TK bit it in quals. Laced had an issue before the race even started. And then TK stalled during like one of the restart. I don't know which restart.
But yeah.
One of those laps, he stalled.
He sure did.
So, yep, really turn that around there, guys.
I know. I will say that I will stop talking shit about AJ Foyt Racing once we get to the 500 stuff, just because
Davison.
I love Davison.
Yeah.
And he's with AJ Foyt. And so I think that's the best decision that Foyt Racing has made this year. I'm not unhappy with the TK decision. I was not at the time, and I'm not now. I love TK, and I love that he's got a home there.
Sure.
And I think that that's a great fit, but I'm still bitter about Connor.
I'm just overall still salty with Foyt Racing.
And I'm just still salty. And honestly, I love Munoz too. So I'm just, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm displeased.
Oh, I agree.
So let's see. Practice two. 18, Sebastian Bourdais got off the track and had the best, almost fucked up his car ever.
He narrowly missed
the tire barrier, the wall, like by inches.
It was like pulling into a parking spot. Just zoop.
Right? It was like he did it on purpose. It was unreal.
I kind of feel like he might have, like, all right, this is happening.
And then Wickens didn't even get out in practice too because they were trying to figure out what was. He had some water leak issues, and so they were messing with his car.
I got really concerned when that happened. I was like, oh god, no. He was on such a good momentum.
He was. This would
fuck you up.
Right? Although when they interviewed him, you know, he was cool as a cucumber. One of the things that I enjoy, because they interviewed him about that and they interviewed him about the weather, and one of the things he said was, you know, that he's always, you know, his philosophy in life is worry about the things that you can control.
Well, you cannot control the weather.
And so when they were like, are you about the weather? He's like, nope, I have no control over that. Like, if it's a wet race, it's a wet race. If it's a dry race, it's a dry race. Like, worry about what you can control. He's like, we can control the car. We can control this. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And he's no stranger to driving in the rain. He did, I think they said eight or nine races last year in DTM were in the rain.
I mean,
in the wet.
In the wet, yeah. Okay, sure. In the wet.
Yeah.
Although I will say, you know, a DTM car is a lot different than an IndyCar car.
It is a lot different, but sometimes,
Still driving fast in the rain, on corners and things like that. Like, there's still an inherent skill with that.
Definitely. It's like, you know, driving in the snow or, you know, when you think about our winters here.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're more comfortable in a vehicle you're more comfortable in. But, like, I've driven in the snow in vans, trucks, cars, you know, yeah. driving in the snow. It's a little different on the vehicle, but your basic principles are still the same.
Yeah, definitely. So.
Yeah. Also, I found this super interesting about Barber, and I think we all saw this during practices, quals, and the race, mm-hmm. that on paper, it actually should not be a good track to race at. Yeah. Like, the way that it's laid out and on paper, you would think that it would actually not produce good racing for IndyCar, but in actuality, it's nonstop entertainment.
See, now, I would disagree because of the different turns and the elevation. It should be a good... There's a lot of braking zones is what I always see.
That's true. That's true. But I think just, I guess maybe with the learning curve of that particular track, maybe that's why they said on paper it is not a great track to race at. But yeah, but that makes sense because most of your passes happen in your braking zones.
Yeah, and the, you know, the elevation adds something to it. So, I you know, I don't know why people say that. It's like the same people who said that this was a boring race. Nope.
Yeah, anybody who... It was like, oh, it was follow the leader. It was this. It was for a little bit because Newgarden got a great lead, but there was passing.
Yeah. That's what kills me. Everybody, don't
right. Like, are you only watching the first car?
Right. Then yeah, it will be boring. But you know what? Watch the field.
Right. When you watch couples figure skating, do you only watch the male or right? only watch the female? There's more than one person out there competing.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, it just irritates me.
Yes.
To no end.
Agreed.
As you can hear.
Agreed. Yeah, Pagano went off in turn five as well.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, Bender went into the wall.
Yeah, he hit the tire barrier. That was.
He sure did.
It looked bad for a moment.
It did, yeah. Actually. But turned out to be okay.
Yeah, he...
Marco... complained that his brakes were spongy during practice two. So they pitted at some point during the practice and were bleeding some brake fluid off the lines.
You know, he just likes to complain, I've decided.
He just does.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not going to let him party with P-Pants and Cendric.
No, not yet. And...
Not yet, because he doesn't complain about real issues. Well, he did have one legitimate gripe this weekend, but...
Yeah.
But, yeah, he just bitches all the time. Like, that's just his everyday life. So, yeah. in my opinion, I don't really know him.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe he's fine outside of the track.
Let's see. Oh, and there's just some fun physics stuff. So they switched out their springs. Like for their shocks. So they've got two options. One is a softer or a thinner spring, and that creates more rear grip.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a little bit better control. You have less understeer. And then the other one is your stiffer or thicker spring.
Yep.
And that is, you have less rear grip. So that makes your car a little more loose.
Yes.
So there was a lot of play with that this weekend based on the wet versus dry.
Yeah.
Because you can have that car looser when it's dry because, you know, you can control it better. But you need it to be a little tighter when it's wet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you can hydroplane, you can do all kinds of wild stuff.
Shit can pop off.
Shit can pop off like it did.
Like it did.
Practice three, Rossi's consistently a badass.
Yeah.
Actually said there's no one hotter or more consistent right now. And
yeah,
I thought, well, welcome to the club.
Yeah, again, thank you. Thank you, everybody. You're welcome.
Everybody's on the Rossi train. Newgarden actually described the track as driving on a roller coaster.
That would make sense with the different elevation changes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the different, like, turns. Oh, I like that description.
Yeah, I was like, that's a great description. Well, and I'll tell you what, because a lot of people who've been to Barber, which we have not yet,
yeah.
you know, have told us, and, you know, and they mention on the TV and all that, that you miss something with the camera view because you miss all the undulations and the track and the sure. elevation changes and all that. And I think that is true for the main camera view, but the nose cone view.
Oh my God, the nose cam at this track was insane.
Oh my gosh, you didn't miss anything with the nose cam view. I felt like I was in the car.
Definitely, like it was absolutely just amazing to go through those elevation changes. Like, and you're like, oh, this is so exciting.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
and it made I want a ride along on that track next year.
Oh yeah, that'd be a good track.
I mean full obviously. Disclosure, Abby's fantasy. I just want to drive a car balls to the wall on that track by myself.
Well,
but a ride along on that track would be so much fun.
So much fun. Oh, that'd be great.
Let's see. Jordan King stuffed it.
He did. Up in two.
He had some substantial left suspension damage.
He got it fixed.
Yeah, they interviewed Ed Carpenter. He did not seem as upset as I think he probably was on the inside. But he did say, you know, Jordan's, you know, he's a strong racer. He's been doing well. You know, we're still growing and learning. And then he made a joke. He's like, I mean, we're 3 for 3 on the same mistakes at all practices. But which that made me laugh. I was like, well, yeah, you are.
Yeah.
I mean, might as well just call it out and say it. Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you know, it's fine.
And you know what I found interesting in practice three that did not hold true for quals is that Ray Hall, to me, seemed to have his shit together better than most of the other drivers. Like, because he was the one who, you know, we heard complaining a lot in St. Pete about how if the front was tight, the back was loose. If the back was tight, the front was loose.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he's mentioned in every race that, you know, the car was just too loose. He just could not, it just hasn't quite found his groove.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, it's amazing that he keeps finishing in the top 10, considering that.
Exactly.
But, yeah, practice three, he just looked, I mean, his car just looked tight. When you washed his hands, it seemed effortless.
Yeah, he seemed to be really well in P3.
Yeah, he did extremely well. And so I thought, I hope that they figured out, you know, the back of the car and their understeer issues and all that, because he just seemed like it was, you know, a drive in the park to him at practice three.
Yeah. And then I don't know what happened in quals.
Yeah.
Yeah. So qualifying.
Yes.
I was surprised, given how many people jumped off the track in the prior practices, we only had one kind of incident during quals.
We did. And what's interesting about, I love this rule, and I love they showed it. And then when it happened, they flashed it up on the screen.
It was very
And that is, if you cause a red, then your two best lap times are taken away.
And you don't get to go again. Like, you're done.
You're done.
Yeah.
And no matter where your lap times push you, you do not proceed to the next round.
No, you just sit there. You sit in your pit stall and think about what you did.
Like, that is cone of shame right there.
That is cone of shame, 100%.
That is the cone of shame.
And that happened to Tony.
Yeah, TK, yeah. And he was exiting pit lane.
He was exiting pit lane, I know.
I mean, to be fair, they were new tires, and so, you know, they weren't warm, and I think they just locked up on him, and yeah.
And it's also the tightest pit lane after Toronto, so.
It is a very tight pit lane.
It's not like, you know, it's a little tight, but still exiting.
No,
pit
it actually,
lane.
It kind of gave me when they would be driving in a pit lane, it almost gave me anxiety. Like when you're on the interstate and there's construction. So you have the concrete barrier that's super close to your car.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like when I was watching them.
It just gave me anxiety to when there was rain. Cause I was like, shit, pit lane's going to be slicky. It's everything.
Oh, I can't believe we didn't have an incident.
Oh my God. There were a few moments. I was like, this is how it's going to go down.
So going back to Graham, so he did not do as well in quals as he wanted to. They interviewed him afterwards, and he gave complete props to his team and his crew and said that, you know, that it was on, it's on me, which, a big step for him,
it's
honestly.
Very mature for him, yeah.
Yeah, he did not come out of the bat griping and, you know, saying, you know, bitching about, X, Y, and Z, blah, blah. He just came out and he was like, you know,
my
great
bad.
Car, great team, this one's on me. I could have done better.
Yeah.
So So yeah, so kudos to Graham Rahal for
kudos. Yeah,
I think he gets one of the awards this week for
not being a bitch.
Well, I would say for being a gentleman.
Okay, I guess that's a better way to say it. The gentleman's award.
Because there's a long way between just not being a little bitch and being a gentleman. There's a lot of gray in between those two. Now, I don't know if you heard this. They were interviewing, it's hearsay because they were telling us a story that about a conversation they had had with Wiccans, but apparently they mentioned something about a lotion and Wiccans used to drive with him.
Yeah, I heard that.
And they asked Wiccans what he thought at all, and with, all the crashes he had last year and all that, and Wiccans having driven with him in the past, all he said was, he's crazy.
Like, okay, well, yeah.
I mean, that's why we called him the Mad Russian.
Yeah, makes sense to me.
All right, round two. RHR off-roaded it a little bit.
Got a little, he just wanted to see what it was like.
Right, turn five. He had to get, turn five was going to snatch somebody.
He was gonna play a little fast and loose, so it tried to get RHR, and he was like, not today.
Not today, Satan, not today. And he off-roaded it, popped right back on, which, awesome.
Yeah, especially in those cars, amazing.
Seriously.
Yeah. He had a good weekend.
He really did.
Yeah. So good for him.
Yeah, he really did have a good weekend. Excellent for him. And he made it into the Fast Six.
He did.
Rossi did not.
No.
His whole qualifying fell apart because of his tires. He had a good run, and then some other guys went out and were doing better, and the tires he was on, he tried to get an extra lap out of them and really
just didn't work.
Couldn't pull it off with his equipment. Yeah.
Nope.
And he pretty much said that. He was like, well, we tried, but,
took a gamble.
Tired.
Didn't work.
Yep. Rolled the dice. Didn't work.
Sometimes you hold them. Sometimes you fold them.
Right. So our poll winner was Joey New.
Joey New. And then Power. So some of the Penske boys realized that the team meetings are getting a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. I think Roger Penske has probably enforced a corporal punishment rule at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because really, Penske has not had good luck this year.
No, it's not been a great year.
No, I mean, Newgarden has done well.
Right.
But Power has had a very disappointing season thus far.
Yeah.
And Pagano as well.
Yeah, I mean, Power, going into this race, he was 8th, and then Pagano was 16th. Now, obviously, Simon had that whole issue at Long Beach, so, that's going to fuck you up.
Absolutely.
But still, yeah, not the great year that, coming off of what happened last year. I mean, we're only four races in? Four races in,
yeah.
But still, kind of thought they'd be doing better.
Yeah, I did as well.
Yeah.
But the top two in the Fast Six were Chevys. The back four were all Hondas. Seabass, RHR, Hinch, and Dixie.
Yeah. I mean, it was quite the mix of teams.
It was.
This whole race,
it really was. And, and this was the first repeat team and driver win of the season.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I love. That's one of the things. I just love the variety in IndyCar.
I do, too. Oh, I do, too.
I love it. I was surprised that Dixon did not start better than 6th.
I don't know. There was something going on. I don't know what, but...
Right? And he almost got bumped out of the Fast Six.
Yeah.
I was surprised at that. But, it is what it is.
It is what it is, yeah.
So the race itself.
I don't even know where to begin with this race. I guess we should start at the beginning where they had to move the race time because of rain.
Because of rain.
Yeah.
So Needles went off, and I did not. I only saw that race incident briefly.
See, I've only seen it from one angle. He said Jones hit him. Jones said he didn't. I just couldn't tell because of the angles and the rain on the camera. I don't know.
Well, and yeah, those cars produce so much spray.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. No, we couldn't see for sure, but I don't know that Ed Jones would have known whether or not he was touching Kimball.
Well, and
that's how close they were. There was no way he could have seen. And I think, honestly, that he was too close for safety. There's not a rule about that. But if we were in race control, we'd have one.
I just don't know, because I couldn't tell how close they are because of the camera angle. That's the other thing.
Yeah, the camera angle is not great for that particular spot. So,
and it was coming out of five up six. So it could have just been that Charlie, I just don't know. But yeah, Charlie got on TV afterwards and decided to be Mr. Cranky Pants about everything.
He was Mr. Cranky Pants, which made me laugh because he has hit so many other drivers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I will say, you know, those cars, it's not a smooth ride.
No.
Like race cars are a rough ride. Sure. And so with that track, with the rain and all that, I think that it's totally possible that with the normal vibrations and sensations that you have just from, you know, that rougher ride, I think it's 100% possible that Ed Jones could have bumped him and not realized it.
Oh, yeah, but it also could be that he didn't.
And he also could have not done it.
I just don't know. I can't see
I don't
see
know.
It.
Yeah. I kind of err on the side of Charlie Kimball on this one, though.
Really?
Just with as close. Yeah, I think it's more likely that he did hit him than that he didn't.
And
I will
say
that because Monday when they ran the race with like 10 minutes left or something, Chip Ganassi came over and was, you know, telling something to Ed Jones and, you know, telling him something. And they basically said, let's see, where's my...
They told him not to cause a yellow because Dixon didn't want a yellow.
They were like, keep going, but don't cause a yellow.
Well, that's because Dixon didn't want a yellow.
Well, I know Dixon didn't want a yellow because he was on a fuel strategy.
See, and that's why I think they said that. I don't think they said it because he hit Charlie. I think it was, if a yellow happens, don't be the one to cause it. Your teammate doesn't want a yellow.
I mean, I think that goes without saying, though. I don't think that you tell that to a driver that doesn't hit other drivers.
I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that because Dixon was trying to catch everybody on a fuel strategy. And so you want everybody on board with that. I'm not giving a lot of credit.
I mean, I hear you. I just, you know, nobody's going to tell Rossi not to cause a yellow.
Well, yeah, but you have to remember that it is only Ed's second year. So that might be something you want to tell a second year, like, look, remember.
Nobody's telling Rossi that last year. It was only his second year last year.
I don't think any of the other Andretti's were in that position that Dixon were in last year, except Rossi.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's fair. So, yeah, so.
Anyway.
Maybe they got hit, maybe they didn't, but there was nothing, race control did not do anything about that because they can neither confirm or deny that there was a hit.
So that caused the first of many pauses in the race.
The second one after they went back to green.
After green.
Oh my gosh. Joey knew. I mean, wiggled hard, had a hard hydroplane.
He wiggled
the main straightaway. And then
the willpower spin out.
Yeah. He must have hit the exact same spot.
Yeah. It looked like it.
Newgarden did because they were, you know, they were on the same line and he just lost it. He was trying to go full throttle. I mean, because he said, you know, it doesn't, you know, if you'd rather be full, you know, have full throttle so that you actually have better grip and control.
Yeah.
And his spin out, like, how in the actual fuck did he not hit RHR?
I thought that he was about to. I was out of my seat screaming because I thought this is like, I don't know what's about to happen, but one hit in that rain and it was just going to be all over.
And it was just, I mean, it was so fucking close.
Oh my
and
God.
With them not being able to see, when they showed, you know, Will's car camera view and you see how close, I mean, RHR's car, by the time you see it, is almost done passing him.
Yeah.
You know, RHR probably saw just a blip of silver and probably shit his pants. Because there's no way that he saw him spinning until he crossed right in front of his nose.
And I think RHR even said that he's like, I didn't even see it happen until it was already there.
Yeah. I mean, that was... I'm surprised they waited that long to call a red because those are definitely not safe racing conditions.
Well, I know at one point.
I understand we all want to run the race on the day it's supposed to be run on, but.
At some point, like, there's a line. Well, and I think Veach at one point, they came over his radio and they're like, you know, Dixon's behind you. And they're like, okay, Dixon's in front of you. And Zach was like, I didn't see Dixon pass me. And it wasn't a far pass. Like, it was right there. And he just said, I didn't even see Dixon pass me because of the visibility issues.
I mean, Newgarden was in front, and he said that he couldn't see shit.
Yeah, and that's the front.
And, Yeah, and he's in the front. He doesn't have any cars spraying things into his face. Everybody on the field said they couldn't see anything. I know there were IMs and messages to race control from every team.
I think at one point, race control's system just, like, broke down because all it would say was, we know there's a situation, we'll get back to you. Like, it was like an instant message away.
Automated reply. Well, it made me laugh because you remember that the rule about how you are not allowed to, all the things that you're not allowed to send to race control. And
I'm sure that was broke.
Insulting, et cetera. But one of them is repetitive messages. Yes. And I thought, I wonder if anybody, like, obviously they did not enforce that because I'm sure there were multiple people who sent multiple messages about, like, hey guys, what about this fucking rain?
Yeah, like, are we going to do something or not?
Yeah, are we going to continue to put our drivers' lives in danger for the sake of competition? Like, what are we, the Roman Empire?
Like, let's stop this. And they called it only after 23 laps, but they could have called it earlier.
They definitely could have.
I don't know.
So, yes. So, that was pretty wild. So, the cars were... So they red flagged it, and so the huge issue, and this was the only legitimate thing that Marco had to bitch about, is that they did allow the cars to refuel and to change tires before the start of the race on Monday.
And they also had the push-to-pass reset.
They did. They did have the push-to-pass reset, which I think that's fine. Yeah. The push-to-pass reset I think is fine because... You know, it was a completely different race on Monday. Now, the refueling...
See, but here's the problem. You can't... And I understand everybody's side, but you can't be okay with one and not the other. Like, it's if we're continuing the race, then we should start at the very same spot that we ended it. Well, or start everything new, you know? Because...
That's fair.
You know?
I would say... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, with only 23 laps, I don't see push-to-pass as there having been that much disparity between the drivers on what they had left.
I don't think anybody even used push-to-pass.
Yeah, and so that's where, to me, the push-to-pass is kind of a moot point because I feel like
it's implications. What if somebody had, though? Like, what if there was a disparity?
I mean, I just don't feel like there was that much of a disparity for it. I feel like it was a moot point. So I guess that's where I'm okay with that because I don't think that it really was going to make any fucking difference, whether they allowed it or didn't allow it. I understand your, like, you know, straight ticket vote here. But I do disagree with the refueling.
It's an interesting quandary because I understand where they came from. I will say I understand now. I'm so glad I'm not in that position. That is the most unenviable position ever because.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because they couldn't lock the cars up like Texas and Jim ALO, and we retweeted the article because he laid it out perfectly. But you couldn't lock up the cars. The cars were unsecured, and so they were like, screw it. We're going to let you guys refuel and change tires. Now, what they didn't do was like Will's car, they stopped maintenance on it, so they couldn't try and fix it anymore.
That is true, because there is a hard and fast maintenance rule.
Yeah.
However, there is not a specific rule about refueling.
I mean, there's
technically
that whole...
the cars are supposed to be park firma.
Yeah. And there's not one.
And so the fact that there's not a place to do that at Barber, I think, and there were a lot of people that said, you know, why are we making an issue out of this now? Why was there not already a contingency plan? And I agree with that. You and I are both planners.
Yeah.
And so, again, someday maybe we'll take over race control and there'll be a new sheriff in town.
Well, here's the easy fix. Lock up the refueling equipment.
Exactly.
I mean.
Exactly. You don't have to have a place for all the cars. Yeah.
Lock up the refueling. I'm sure they could all fit somewhere and lock it down.
Yeah. There's a storage locker somewhere. Okay. Hell, put it in a temporary office and throw a padlock on it. Put a guard in front of it. Like,
done.
Done.
But, I mean, there's a lot of bitching. And I guess I think I come down on the line of don't refuel. But you know what? I was not standing in race control shoes at that moment.
Well, and I think that, you know, part of their decision was that they wanted, since it was a disappointment to run the race on a Monday, obviously it's a work day. We luck out with the Indy 500 that if it has to be run on a Monday, it's still a holiday.
Surprise.
And so most people are not at work.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, everybody local and some out of town people can still stay because it's a holiday weekend.
Yeah.
obviously if you have flights and things, you can't. But so we're lucky with that on the Indy 500. But with Barber, I think that since it was a disappointing race, mm-hmm. you know, it was disappointing. Well, it wasn't a disappointing race. It was disappointing to have to race it on Monday.
Right.
And because they knew that, you know, that there were going to be a lot of fans who had to leave and all that, they were trying to make it as competitive and as entertaining as possible.
I think that definitely plays into that position. Good Lord, that decision. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
Again,
but yeah,
we
definitely
see
would not have wanted to be in their shoes.
No, no.
No and hell no.
You know what? That's a damned if you do, damned. I mean, if he would have made the other, if he would have decided the other way, as many people would have been upset, I would imagine.
Oh, absolutely. So. Absolutely. Well, and I don't know what it is, but the deeper we go into the IndyCar rabbit hole, there are so many people that just like to bitch about everything.
Right. You know what? Can I just take a moment and, you know, enjoy the racing that you get to see because it is great racing. We have a great year. Great. Fantastic. You can root for, you can root for anybody. Obviously, we have our favorites, but there's not, it's just a good season. And why do people got to complain about everything? Enjoy the race.
Seriously.
Enjoy the race.
Yeah. But did you get to watch a race?
Right.
Okay. Then shut up.
You can disagree about it. We disagree about many things that happened during the race. But at the end of the day, I'm not coming home pissed. I'm excited I got to see a race.
Exactly. I'm like, well, you know what? A bad day at the racetrack is still better than a good day at work.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
So, and I also just want to give a shout out to myself. We are members of many different open wheel racing groups on Facebook and other social media sites. And of course there was bitching in one of the open wheel groups this week about, about how they wanted increased security in the 500.
Yeah.
Which first off, if you're somebody that's pushing for increased security in longer lines, like, get fucked.
First of all, you weren't there for the 100th race, running where people were missing shit.
Yeah, because they didn't get there early enough. So First off, the IMS does an excellent job at security.
100%.
And there's so much security that you're not aware of.
Thank you.
Because there's undercover and plainclothes officers, so calm down.
Yeah.
But it was this whole comment thread, and some guy, and a guy commented that he didn't agree. And he made some joke about, like,
PMS. He made the PMS.
Yeah, PMS joke. About how, like, you know, he'll have to get in touch with this PMS woman thing because he's, you know, he's like, I have too much fun at the Indy 500 to find something to bitch about. He's like, maybe I'll have to get in touch with my PMS woman thing, you know, and complain. And I found that humorous. Don't get me wrong. I mean, a funny joke is a funny joke.
Right. But
I did comment back and I was like, I do just want to point out that not a single woman has complained.
Yeah. All men complaining in this thread.
I was like, I just want to point out, I was like, not a single woman has complained about anything, so maybe it's a man thing.
Yeah, maybe. You ever think about that?
Yeah, this whole PMS woman thing? Nope, it's not, that's not a thing. Nope, I think that you just want to not accept that you like to bitch about things.
Yeah.
So, if you want to complain, that's fine. Like, accept it, own it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine, but don't be like, nah, I'm like a woman. Nope, you're just cranky.
Nope, because the women, we're not bitching.
We're not, so. Anyway.
Anyways.
Day
so,
two.
Yeah, and then we got started yesterday, and that was good shit until...
the rain came back.
Well, until the rain came back. Well, but, so, ZCD, Zachary Clamondemello.
And Spencer.
Drove like a bat out of hell.
Oh my God. It was fantastic driving.
It was fantastic driving. But he had contact with Piggott.
That was an amazing contact. They got tangled up, slid at least two turns, got untangled, and they both continued the race.
Damn right they did.
I mean, kudos, boys. Kudos.
Yeah, like, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like battling it out.
Yeah.
And then they continued to battle into the next turn, and yeah, it was wild.
It was
I mean, and I love that they both like hit, made contact, and then just kept on going.
They're like, all right, well, let's keep doing. And then I do want to point out that I think one of the coolest things for the race was that after they threw the green or yellow flag, so they weren't allowed to work on Will's car at all And then once they threw the flag, you know, they got it going. And he was back on the racetrack within about 15 minutes.
Yeah, they actually got that fixed a lot quicker than they thought they were going to be able to.
I mean, kudos to his team.
Absolutely. Although, he did not finish the race. What happened with that?
I think they had another mechanical thing. I couldn't quite find that out.
Yeah, because I know that they were going out, you know, and the announcers talked about, like, you know, what's the point if you're, you know, 20 laps down or whatever? And basically the resounding answer was knowledge.
Based on the mileage of the engine, somehow it would play out that they wouldn't get a new engine until halfway through May or, you know, not when they wanted that new engine.
Gotcha.
So that,
well, like, that makes sense too.
Engine strategy came into play.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. But that makes sense. Yeah. Cause they've got, max number of hours/miles.
Yeah. I think it's like 50,000 miles or 20,000 miles. Maybe I'd have to look. I don't know. Rain came back.
Which screwed up Dixon's fuel game that we talked about. Cause everybody was, you know, this one stop versus two stops.
Yeah.
And so a lot of guys were trying to just do one stop and play that fuel game, and
then it got wiped out.
And Rain bitch slapped that idea.
Rain said, nope, we're playing by my rules.
Yep. So the two-stop guys ended up having three stops. The one-stop guys ended up having at least two.
Yeah.
But then, had the rain not come, I bet Dixon would have podiumed again.
I think so. I mean, let's talk about it. Had the rain, well, no... Because Bourdais' tire strategy was intriguing to watch the whole race.
Speaking of pit strategies, Dixon's pit speed limiter was broken.
See, they said it was broken, and then they also said that he just doesn't have one on his car.
Really? I think that everybody has one on their car.
They talked
because I know that they were giving him... RPMs. Because they don't typically have miles per hour on their car, or kilometers per hour, because it doesn't matter.
Right.
We have it so that we know not to go over the speed limit, but like they're race car drivers. So on their screen, they have a couple different views, a couple different layouts they can choose from. So they discussed that, you know, the team was telling him to maybe toggle to a different screen so that he could see his miles per hour, which obviously Dixon likes the screen he has and was like, nope. Come up with a better solution.
Not going to happen.
And they were like, okay, keep it under 6,700 RPMs.
Yeah, like they. All right. I heard them both say it was broken and or he just doesn't have one. So I don't know.
I think maybe they were just referencing like that he doesn't have one for this race because I'm pretty sure that's required on all the cars.
I don't know. Paul Tracy said
I guess maybe it's not required, but I don't know why you wouldn't want because that would be my thought. So many penalties. Yeah, like it's smart. Yeah, that's work smart, not hard.
Yeah, like, okay, put it on there. But anyway, yeah, that was interesting that he didn't have it. And that's why he got a pit speed last race.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting.
Very interesting.
Let's see. I think the rain, Bourdais staying out on those slick tires.
That was
kind of ballsy.
Super ballsy. He was out in the lead. He had, like... he had quite a stretch between him and the person running in P2.
And there was like 10 laps to go.
Yeah.
10 minutes to go, I guess, not laps, because it was a timed race.
Yeah, yes. And Rossi was still on dry tires as well. And Bourdais, I mean, he definitely slowed down with the rain. And his lead came to like 11 seconds. Like it came down to only 11 seconds. And he came over the radio and he was like, only one more time. And that's it. Like, he was like, I'm going to lose control of this car. But then the next time he came around, he obviously had changed his mind a little bit because he did another lap on dries.
He was like, well, maybe one more. But then he came over and he was like, this is it. I was like,
right.
But is it?
On second thought, you know what?
I'm going to do this. Maybe one more. Maybe.
Right. So, I mean, again, Sebastian Bourdais being a complete badass, like just rolling with the punches and driving an extremely controlled, fast race
in the rain on tires. Yeah.
Not made for the rain.
Yeah. He was pulling the Teresa Hilliker strategy.
He sure was. Tell that about your mom yesterday.
So, Sunday, when I was over at their house going to watch the race with Dad, obviously, you know, we didn't watch a race. It was fine. But at one point, my mom's like, oh, it's raining. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, well, what do they do? And I was like, oh, well, they have rain tires. She goes, well, do they have to put on the rain tires? Like, slightly judgmental. And I was like, I mean...
Interesting strategy, Teresa.
Okay, so Dale Coyne, my mom is on board with Sebastian Bourdais' strategy.
Yeah, she's like, I mean...
If you need a team mom, Teresa is available.
She'd be a great team mom.
Oh my god. Especially
she should do that in her retirement, like, be like a sorority mom.
I don't think the world is ready for that.
Oh, I'll tell you what, though. It would produce some very productive members of society.
That's true. That's true. The fear is real with that woman.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, that is. And then...
So Bourdais had to pit, and obviously that gave the lead back to New.
It sure did. And then Piggott, with about a little under 6 minutes left, his car stalls.
Yeah.
And so he flipped it into neutral, refired it, got it started again, and then just kept on going.
You know what? Piggott kind of drove a little badass this week. I was pleased.
I'll tell you what. I mean, he only finished 15th, and I think that stall so late in the race is why, which is unfortunate. But yeah, like, I mean, he drove like a beast with the contact early on. And then, I mean, refiring the car and getting it start again. And I also want to point out, the car was going uphill.
Yes, in the rain.
And so, in the rain. And anybody who has ever driven a manual understands the struggle.
The hill.
Of the hill.
Yes.
And everybody, their first time driving a manual, kills it going up a hill, yep. And then you have to restart it on the hill and try to get out of first gear.
Yep.
And it is not easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I drive a stick all the time now, so, you know, it's definitely, you know, it's like second nature now, and obviously all these drivers do as well. But it is definitely more difficult than just doing a refire.
Like hitting a button. Like, you have to do a whole situation.
It's a whole thing. And flipping into neutral, I mean, and that's also, I mean, he knew he was going to be losing exponential speed because he had no power and he was going up a hill. But yeah, managed to refire that car and get right back on.
That was amazing.
I hope that boy got a huge high five. Like, that might be my favorite move of this race.
He got the Ed Carpenter bro head nod, probably, which is a lot coming from Ed.
I think he got the handshake, pull it in for a hug.
Oh, my. That's saying a lot from Ed.
well, I think also because, you know, when he did have contact, he didn't ruin the car.
Yeah, he did not ruin the car.
Yeah, so he got a bro hug, for sure.
He did. Yeah, that's true. With the contact, he got the bro hug.
He definitely did. So, yeah, I think that, to me, that was very impressive.
Yeah.
I'm excited to... I've not been super excited about Spencer Piggott. Yeah. I mean, I don't dislike the kid.
He's just there.
Yeah. But that, to me, I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to keep my eye on him because that takes some skill and confidence.
It does. Only his second year in.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Very impressive. Very impressive.
So Joey New won.
He sure did. The announcers commented at one point, you know, oh, he's got fast hands. And, and watching the race by myself, I was like, yeah, he does. Because I never pass up good innuendo.
Oh, yeah. Even by ourselves.
Yeah, and then I just laughed at myself. But yeah, so it was funny. The last couple laps of that race, he kind of had to reel in the speed.
They were like, maybe.
I mean, he had a hell of a lead, but he just is always trying to do better.
Yeah.
And I think that's a testament to him as a driver and why he has done so well, why he did so well last year, why he continues to do so well this year, is that he is just trying his hardest always. And, you know, his strategist had to come over and be like, listen, you know, there's only a couple laps left. Like, you're just racing against yourself right now.
Yeah. Tim Cintric said, like, whoa, 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 calm down, buddy. Let's not ruin it.
Let's not stick it into the wall with three laps to go.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Wickens had a solid race as well.
Yeah, he came in fourth, so that's not bad.
That's become his norm.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, and then at the very end, Dixon and Bourdais really battling it out for fifth. Yeah, I mean, Dixon kept trying to pass him on corners, just couldn't quite get there, couldn't pull it off. And then, yeah, it was basically like a drag race down that last straightaway.
In the rain, and I was like, oh, guys, whoa.
I was literally, like, on my feet yelling.
Yeah, it was one of those moments.
Oh, yeah, that was wild, which, of course, Bourdais got in fifth, Dixon came in sixth, which screwed me out of points because I picked Dixon for the top five.
You did.
I sure did. Got screwed on that. But yeah, that was pretty awesome. And I'll tell you, so they talked a lot about Zachary Fontanello Sunday a little bit, and then Monday.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, another rookie that they did not talk about that I think ran a solid race and actually finished better than CCD is Rene Bender.
Yeah, he did a good... Actually, all of the rookies... Nope. They did fine. Yeah. Sorry.
They really did. Yeah. Bender came in 16th. Clement DeMello was 19th.
Yeah.
Which is funny because that's also his car number.
I know. It's kind of nice for me to write stuff like that because it makes me feel better about myself. Yeah.
Right?
Jordan King was 14th. Gabby was 17th. Mateus was 12th. So.
Yeah. Well, Gabby's not necessarily a rookie, but he's also not seasoned.
It's so weird. They call him a rookie, but I'm like, is he really?
Well, it's a rookie weird for a full-time season.
Yeah. But at the same time, you're like,
I mean, like, yes and no. So I think that about sums up the race. So let's, speaking of Gabby Chavez.
Oh, my goodness.
Simon Pagenaud was mad, quite displeased.
Yes.
And went over to give Gabby the business because he was convinced that Gabby was blocking and not allowing him to pass, even though Gabby was, you know, a couple laps down. And Pagenaud finished 9th, which is definitely not as high as he wanted to finish.
Right.
And it's just, you know, he didn't get to race, you know, he only got to race into turn one last week.
Yeah.
Hashtag thanks, Ray Hall. And so, yeah, so he went to Chavez to give him the business and tell him, you know, like, fuck you for not letting me around you. And Chavez was like, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here.
He, like, let him talk for a minute. And he was like, what are you talking about? He's like, I let plenty of people around me. You weren't close enough to pass. That had you been, I would have let you around me. Mm-hmm. And Pagenaud gave him some more lip. And he was like, get the fuck out of here, man. Like, he's sitting on his pit box, and Simon just walks up, and Simon says a few more things. And Gabby had a slew of, I don't know, maybe 30 F words, which really endeared him to me. I was like, he's moved up on drivers that I would want to hang out with.
On the driver list.
Yeah. Although nobody really noticed that at the very end of the video, Pagenaud quietly under his breath says, fuck you. If you go back and watch it at the very end, and he does not turn so that you can read his lips, but he at the very end, he's like, fuck you.
Yep.
And then walks away. So, but also kudos to Gabby, because Pagenaud, I mean, is a seasoned driver, and I'm sure can be extremely intimidating.
Yeah.
And so Gabby being a rookie for a full-time season, not necessarily a rookie in any car ever, but, you know, not a seasoned driver. He's one of the newer guys in the group. And typically you would think that, you know, low man on the totem pole would kind of back down and heed whatever somebody else is saying. But he was like, no, you're wrong. Get fucked.
Yeah. So.
And I love that. Standing his ground.
Nice. Good on him. So.
Oh.
Well, we didn't do too well this week either with our personal picks.
No, I picked Newgarden for top 10. I should have picked him to win, so I got a point for that.
You got a point. That was it.
Was that it?
That was it. Pagenaud you had for first, Dixon for fifth.
Yes.
Yep. You had King for first out. Didn't happen. That's all right. I got 0 points, so it's almost like last week where I got 1 point and you got 0 points.
Yeah, no, it was a bad week for you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though. My fantasy IndyCar did fantastic, though.
I did fine in everything else, but not in ours, so.
Yeah, I had Newgarden, Hinch, Dixon, and Bender. And so I had 1, 3, and 6, and then 16. So yeah, that 1, 3, and 6 on Newgarden, Hinch, and Dixon did very well for me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean.
And your fantasy team did very well this week, too.
Yeah, I'm second in the overall standings on the one I'm on, so. But not in our personal one right here on this podcast.
No, we are not doing well on our personal one.
But you know what? Although, we're going into Indy, so it's fine. That hometown it's advantage fun. Kicks in. We'll get on the roll. I'm done. Like, we'll be fine.
Hell yeah. I'm trying to win the family bet 2 years in a row. I'm trying to go back to back.
That's impressive.
I'm going to try and pull an Alio.
There you go. Well, white flag. And what you got for white flag?
Yeah, I think we should white flag. Again, I just want to say, check out the Mutt Strut if you have a dog.
Yep,
do it this Saturday. It's fun. It's fun times. And if you don't have a dog, or if you have a dog and you just don't want to do it, check out our video because it's fantastic. check out our hype video.
I was concerned where you were going with that.
Yep, nope. Check out our hype video. It's good times.
It is fun.
Yeah, I'm just excited. We got 2 weeks to the IndyCar Grand Prix. Yep. And then we've got the Indy 500. So it's about to be a real busy month for us, but it's my favorite time of year. And the closer we get to May, the bigger the shit-eating grin gets on my face. So,
yep.
So yeah, I'm pumped. Just pumped.
Oh yeah.
Wait, what about you?
Yeah. I mean, basically the same vein starting Thursday. I think it just kicks off for us. We got Thursday, we got Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, like let's go.
Absolutely. And this Thursday is Behind the Wheel, which we've been promoting on our Twitter. And I think you put some stuff up on the Insta as well.
Yeah, I tried to hit it
and
on everything.
So, yeah, so if you're local, if you're around town, come to Behind the Wheel. It's this Thursday, April 26th. We're going to go. There's a stop. It starts at the Lara Car Factory. You can learn more about IndyCar. You can network, so bring your business cards. It's about 30 or 33 bucks, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But well worth it.
Definitely.
Well worth it.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to 1911 Grill. So, and I believe Foyt Winery is a stop as well. So it's going to be a good time. 21 and over only.
Which means it's going to be an excellent 21, time.
We'll see you next year. But yes, that means there will be alcohol. So
there you go.
Race cars, networking, and alcohol.
Ta-da.
Yeah. Trifecta of winning.
Yep. All righty.
So. So, yeah. All right. Well, let's wave that checkered flag. Thanks for listening.
See you guys.